Welcome back to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. With our schedules upended and the stress of a global pandemic, sleep, so critical to our physical and mental health, has become more elusive. Or maybe you're sleeping more now and also dreaming more vividly. One study from France actually found that participants reported a 35% increase in dream recall since the start of the pandemic. Here's some tape from 8-year-old Max in Des Plaines recalling one of his recent quarantine dreams.
I had a dream that I was cutting my hair and I cut the whole top off and I was bald and I was cutting it with snippers.
I think an 8-year-old with a Friar Tuck qualifies as a nightmare, but that's just me. Today on the show, we want to talk about sleep during the pandemic, how to sleep better, how and why sleep habits have changed. We're joined by Dr. James Wyatt. He's the founding president of the Illinois Sleep Society and is director of the Section of Sleep Disorders and Sleep-Wake Research at Rush University Medical Center in Chicago. He's also a professor of psychiatry and behavioral sciences at Rush Medical College. He specializes in the treatment of insomnia and circadian rhythm sleep disorders. Dr. Wyatt, welcome to the 21st.
Thank you, Brian. Very happy to be joining you today.
And as always, we want to hear from you. Give us a call. Tell us how you're sleeping or if you have a question for Dr. Wyatt. The number is 1-800-222-9455. Again, our number is 800-222-9455. So, Dr. Wyatt, our producer mentioned that at the bottom of your email signature is a motto: losing sleep loses lives. Don't be a loser. And it gives the impression that you think sleep is pretty important. So before we get to why people are having such a hard time sleeping now, like, you know, a global pandemic, can you tell us what happens to the body during a typical good night's sleep?
Sure. There's sort of this misperception that a sleeping body and a sleeping brain are relatively inert, and couldn't be further from the truth. We have an extremely active brain and body, but it's converting to different things. So much of your body is converting to restorative processes during sleep, spending a lot more energy devoted to digestion, tissue repair, nervous system building and rebuilding, memory processing and consolidation. So there's a lot of housekeeping tasks going on during sleep. It's actually, in fact, quite active. Now, that being said, one of the key linkages here as well is between sleep and the immune system. So we know that a healthy sleeper who's getting somewhere between, let's say for an adult, between 7 to 9 hours of sleep per night, that helps the immune system boost its functioning. So during the current pandemic, that's one of the things we were absolutely think is essential, is everyone trying to devote sufficient time for sleep.
So are there people who are just better at sleeping, maybe genetically or for some other reason, and other people are prone to insomnia? I mean, we hear these terms, early birds, night owls, with, you know, as a night owl, I feel like I get a bit of a bad rap on that. What is the science behind that?
Sure. There's a tremendous amount of science. There's 40 to 50 years of sleep science here that we can impart. So there are differences in terms of what we call chronotype. You'd mentioned the early morning birds and the night owls. That can be to some extent inherited. It can also be a developmental thing. So for example, if you look at teenagers and those in their 20s, most of them will tend to be more along the night owl spectrum. And then there's sort of a neutral position that happens in the 30s, 40s, and 50s. And then as you enter older adulthood, it's more common to be an early bird, if you will, you know, going to bed earlier and waking up earlier. So some of that will influence the optimal timing of sleep and alertness. But there are also individuals who are more prone and vulnerable to getting insomnia. So in a given year, not this current year when things are highly abnormal, but in a traditional given year, about 3 out of 10 adults will experience a short-term bout of insomnia. And at any given time, about 10% of the adult population has been suffering from insomnia on a chronic basis, meaning difficulty falling asleep or staying asleep, and some daytime consequence to it that it's gone on for longer than 3 months at a time. But I want to make sure that we're very careful to distinguish those who have an insufficient ability to sleep, those with insomnia. That's very different from those who have an insufficient amount of sleep because they're not in bed long enough trying to sleep. So those are people who are sleep deprived on, if you will, a voluntary basis because they're staying up too late or getting up too early and not devoting enough time for sleep. What's fascinating
You're
is that
speaking
those
directly to
within,
my soul here. I
yeah,
want you to
right.
know.
What's fascinating, those with insomnia, those who are in bed a sufficient amount of time but have difficulty falling asleep or staying asleep, that seems to be accompanied by much more minor, if you will, long-term health consequences. Now, there are some that are quite serious. So we know, for example, that if you have insomnia on a chronic basis, it more than doubles your risk for developing depression at some point. And depression itself can bring significant morbidity and mortality. But those who, in fact, who are not in bed long enough, who are sleep deprived, that carries the much greater risk. That's where my motto of, losing sleep loses lives. We know that this dramatically increases not just immune system compromise, but risks of accidents and injuries, things like falling asleep driving the car.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to The 21st. We're speaking with Dr. James Wyatt, professor and director at the Rush University Medical Center section of sleep disorders and sleep-wake research. We're talking about sleep during the coronavirus pandemic, and many of us may have trouble sleeping now or having particularly vivid stress dreams. You can call and share your thoughts with us or questions for Dr. Wyatt at 800-222. That's 800-222-9455. So I understand your research is actually part of the reason that airline pilots have mandatory sleep times now, according to FAA regulations that were implemented a few years ago. It seems that what happens while we're sleeping during, if we're ideally getting that 7 to 9 hours, or maybe if we're getting less, I mean, that affects how we're feeling the next day, whether we're an airline pilot or a public radio host?
Right. So there are a lot of, if you will, alertness critical jobs out there. So, for example, not just our healthcare workers on the front lines who are working long hours and overnights, but if you look at airline pilots, long-haul truck drivers who are delivering critical food and supplies across the country right now. So a lot of these occupations where alertness equals safety. For those individuals, there's a certain number of hours in a row that one can maintain optimal alertness before it starts to get compromised. And it gets compromised much faster when somebody is trying to stay awake and alert working at night. There's a biological 24-hour clock in the brain called the circadian system that is actively impairing our alertness at night because it's actively trying to keep us asleep. And therefore, that's why we have a much harder time trying to stay up in the middle of the night doing an occupation, or, let's say college or high school students trying to study in the middle of the night, cramming before an exam. So we're biologically programmed to be a diurnal species, a day active, night sleeping species.
So let's get from the sort of general situation with sleep to the more specific one we might be in now because of a global pandemic. We've been hearing people reporting difficulty sleeping. How does something like the COVID-19 pandemic affect our ability to sleep?
Well, I think one of the things that's been fascinating over the last 2 months is seeing in my own clinic and those of my colleagues how diverse the responses have been in sleep to this COVID pandemic. So, for example, there are some patients who've told me their sleep is actually starting to improve because of stay-at-home orders. All of a sudden, now they're not facing a 1 to 2 hour commute per day, the stresses that might be encountered with a coworker in the workplace. So for some individuals, there's actually been a positive benefit for sleep. Now, that being said, I think that's the minority. So many of my patients have been reporting dramatic increases in stress from multiple factors, not just worry and concern about the virus itself, but also concerns about job security, the difficulties in learning how to do some work at home things, but also, dovetailing with what Senator Durbin was mentioning recently, this added stress of those being at home and also, trying to work at home, but also trying to act like a teacher at home, taking care of kids who have closed schools and where there may be, some education going on online, but there's a dramatically increased demand on the parents to multitask, jumping back and forth between monitoring the kids and doing work. So a lot of these factors can increase stress levels during the day.
Yeah.
Coupled with that, there's a dramatic decrease in physical activity level for a lot of people, being afraid to go out, the gyms are closed, parks are closed, places where people might normally exercise. So we have the decrease in activity level. Also, being inside a lot decreases our sunlight exposure, and we need to have sunlight at regular times during the day to keep our brain's 24-hour clock lined up with the sleep schedule. So there's been a lot of threats to healthy sleep happening just because of the pandemic.
This is Dr. James Wyatt. He's a professor of sleep disorders and sleep wake research. We have a caller on the line, Caitlin from Freeport, gave us a call at 800-222-9455. She's working two essential jobs and says she's sleeping great. Caitlin, what's your question for Dr. Wyatt?
Well, I just feel like good morning, everyone.
Good
now
morning.
That I'm working 7 days a week and working two essential jobs, I should be stressed out enough to the point where my sleep is interrupted, but I'm getting really good sleep and I'm not dreaming at all. And I think that's very strange and was wondering what that was all about.
Sure, Caitlin. So great question there. Let's take the dreaming part first. Remembering dreams in the morning actually doesn't correlate with good or bad sleep. So it's one of these myths that's out there that somehow, I must not be sleeping well because I'm not dreaming. So don't sweat that part. But another thing that may be going on is I imagine there's a fair amount of physical exhaustion going on working 7 days per week and not having a whole lot of downtime. So to some extent, sleep may be a refuge. But another thing is working two essential jobs. If you look compared to others who have, let's say, very low job security, maybe you have a higher sense of control over what's going on right now because you are in demand. You are doing things of value. And oftentimes that can calm the mind when getting into bed because you say, hey, I've put in a hard day's work. I've done something essential.
All right, Caitlin, thank you so much for calling us today. And remember, you can also join the conversation if you're listening now at 800-222-9455. Doctor, we also got an email from a listener. And speaking of dreams, right? And we've heard that people are having maybe dreams that are a little more crazy or even just a little more vivid during this pandemic. We got an email from a listener at talk@21stshow.org. Katie says, quote, I've had a mix of scary and pleasant vivid dreams. Yesterday, I was swimming with dolphins in a tropical paradise. I was really sad when my alarm woke me up. Dr. Wyatt, what is our body doing when we're dreaming?
So there's a lot of controversy actually about what a dream is for. So there are some theories that imbue dreams with a lot of psychological significance, talking about resolving conflicts or wish fulfillment. The more recent 20 years of research, though, really points to dreams as being a place where the mind is working on memory consolidation and processing. So for example, oftentimes the content of dreams will feature things that happened to you today, the day before you went to bed, in combination with things that were fairly similar to it in years past. But one of the things that happens with dreams, especially later in the night, okay, so let's say the last third of your night, dreams tend to get a lot more vivid, a lot more bizarre, and a lot more active. But one of the things that happens during the dreaming state is that our frontal lobes, okay, and that's the front part of your brain that controls things like logic and planning and inhibition, those are largely inactive, so you don't have much focus going on. You're not bringing logic to these. That's why we think the bizarreness characteristics can happen. So one of the factors that I'm concerned about is with more people reporting more dreams. Oftentimes, if you're reporting more dreams, what if, and it's sudden change, for example, in your sleep, what if that means your sleep is becoming a little more fragmented? Because perhaps you're sleeping at different times than you normally would have, or you're under greater stress, or maybe there are more people in the home as, let's say, college kids have come back to home. So it's not always a good sign to have more dreams.
Yeah,
but
it's interesting
I'm one of the people who doesn't necessarily believe that there's a big psychological significance to them.
Okay, so we won't read too much into the dolphins in the paradise, but one of our producers shared with me this ongoing study from the Lyon Neuroscience Research Center in France, which found that the pandemic has caused a 35% increase in dream recall among participants since March. So I guess that does go to your point about maybe there is something going on with sleep that would shown there.
Right. We also see increases in nightmares. Anytime you look at things, let's say we're talking rocket attacks experienced by residents in the Middle East, or after earthquakes, or after hurricanes, there is enough science of sleep during those events and shortly afterward to show that there are these transient spikes, not just in the vividness of dreams, but in nightmares. And the good thing is a lot of these tend to be stress-related and will tend to resolve on their own. But I think any time that somebody has had experience of difficulty falling asleep or staying asleep or nightmares or things that have gone on more than a couple of weeks, that's the time to try to go get some help. Primary care doctors are a terrific first place to start. And one of the things that we're doing during the pandemic is trying to release the guidelines a little bit. We're trying to be a little more flexible. For example, if somebody needs a sleeping pill for a couple of weeks, a lot of my primary care doctor friends are saying they've had a big spike in patients calling for those. We're much more liberal now, saying, absolutely, if you need a sleeping pill for the next couple of weeks and their risk-benefit ratio is favorable, absolutely, let's do that. Or, for example, there's this advice, oh, in general, try to make your bed a place that's relaxing, where you're not reading and you're not watching TV, you're not listening to music. But during the next couple of weeks to a couple of months, if during periods of extreme stress you're having trouble shutting that mind off, it's not the worst thing in the world to stream a little Netflix or to read a fiction novel to help you wind down and focus your brain to be able to fall asleep.
Yeah, and so we've only got about a minute left, and that, I mean, you're kind of touching on what I would, last thing I hope to ask you about, which is, how can we shut off our anxious minds? I mean, there are good reasons that people are anxious now. Right. And again, just in about a little less than a minute, what can we do to shut that off?
One of the key things, especially with a lot of people being sheltered in place at home, is that they may be attending school at home where it used to be in the outside world, or they're working from home and it used to be in the outside world. We've got to reestablish some boundaries so that there's some winding down time before you try to hop into bed. Make sure that there's a time when you shut off the work mode and turn on the relaxation mode. Read a good book, listen to some music, have a pleasant phone call, watch a TV show that's pleasant. Do something that helps you wind down. And when you get into bed, that's when you try to experience good sleep hygiene, trying to have a fairly consistent bedtime and wake up time, sufficient number of hours in bed, nice, dark, quiet, cool bedroom. Those are the kind of things one can certainly control.
Dr. James Wyatt is a professor of psychiatry and behavioral sciences and director of sleep medicine and sleep disorders at Rush University Medical Center. Dr. Wyatt, thanks so much for taking the time to speak with us on the 21st, and I hope you get some good rest tonight.
Thanks, Brian. Everyone stay safe.
More to come after a short break. We're going to be talking with booksellers, checking in about how they're adapting during the pandemic and if they have any recommendations for reading for us. That's coming up in just a moment. Stay with us. This is the 21st.